The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
To 20, the Bears get a win at Soldier Field,
and
the prevailing question has been here on Waddle and Sylvie: did it feel good?
How did it feel?
Are you happy?
How did it feel? How do you feel about your 2-1 Bears? I asked you the question. Before I ask you the question, I need to give you a little DraftKings breaking news. Those of us, I was one of them that played the full Monty parlay. We call it the full Monty parlay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was Bears on the money line. It was Mooney over 49.5 receiving yards, mm-hmm, and an anytime touchdown from David Montgomery.
That's correct. Yep.
Because Montgomery got hurt in that game early, DraftKings has done everyone a solid and has given everybody a free bet.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Refund. So if you bet
$5, you got a free $5 bet.
That
on
is
your
correct.
Account.
Yep. How about that? Great people at DraftKings.
That's pretty solid. They didn't have to do that, but they did that for us because we've got a great relationship with them. So if you played that our full Monty parlay yesterday, and everyone was sad because David Montgomery went out early, DraftKings is going to refund and give you a free bet for whatever it was that you put down on that parlay. That's solid.
It absolutely is. Piggybacking on that, Matt Eberflus gave us an update earlier today on David Montgomery.
Yeah, that's still the case. Day to day, it was the same today as it was yesterday.
To you, it's plausible that he could play this week.
Yeah, day to day. So we'll see what happens on Wednesday and then, you know, going forward from there for sure.
Well, I mean, listen, it doesn't sound like he's going to be placed on IR, which is a good thing.
Are we sure about that?
It didn't sound like it. Or did they leave that open?
He was asked about it and he would not comment on it.
So maybe that is an option.
I don't know. He's very vague when it comes to
injury updates.
I think
Khalil Herbert made them feel comfortable that if, in fact, David Montgomery's out for an extended period of time, that they're in good hands with the second-year running back.
And this is also the same coaching staff that veils training camp injuries as well for a competitive advantage.
So there's an update on. And also the coach was asked, what was the play that soundbite too about, you know.
With the question?
Yes. So I don't even have to try and summarize it.
Is there a conflict of interest that kind of naturally comes about in terms of getting him those game reps and those live scenarios versus doing what may be best for you guys to win the game, considering that you are running the ball so well right now?
Yeah, I mean, you always look at that, but it's always going to be the first. You know, we're doing everything we can to win the game. You know, that's the most important thing, that, you know, what's the style we would have to play to win that particular game? You know, and it changes. You know, that changes every week to week. You know, this week we were in a mode where it was a style which we had to play to win the game, and it came out in the right end.
So that's answering your question. I mean, like, that's the focal point of a coaching staff. I get it. I understand why they decided to kind of go into a shell at the end of the first half, try to get into the locker room and make some adjustments and not have anything horrible happen before halftime got there. It's not what I wanted as a viewer at home.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them take a chance, try to move the ball on a two-minute drill, but from the coach's perspective, trying to win a game, they felt that was the best path. Now, I ask you as a fan, would you have rather they lost that game, but Justin Fields played exceptionally well, as opposed to what actually happened, that Justin probably played, if not his worst game as a Bears quarterback, close. I mean, the game in Tampa last year, and all things considered, that Tampa defense was elite last year. It's still elite.
Yeah.
This is the Houston Texans.
Yes.
You're at home. Would you say that this has been his worst game?
That was my takeaway. I thought it was his worst game because, listen, we're going to throw out the Cleveland game.
Okay,
NFL debut where Matt Nagy did him no favors, we all know that's not even a reflection of anything he can do.
So I ask you the question, as a fan, would you have rather, are you okay with what transpired, or would you rather have seen them lose but Justin play exceptionally well?
If I had the choice, give me door number two. I would have, when you say exceptionally well, for me,
that it confirms your hopes for him.
Yes, and I said this a couple times now. when I said I wanted Justin Fields to be Russell Wilson, this is not it. I didn't want him to turn into Russell Wilson from last night. This is, I don't know what's going on, but I'm scared. I'm scared now about more about Justin Fields 3 weeks in than I ever thought I could be. I'm concerned too. Like, it is very concerning that the coaching staff is at the point through 3 weeks where they don't, like, these are Kyle Orton game plans. Remember when Kyle Orton,
they're beyond, like, they're more restrictive and conservative.
But I'm talking about
that.
Kyle Orton, like, when he was the Bears quarterback. Kyle Orton, as he progressed in his career with the Broncos and Bills and Cowboys, became a bit of a different player. When Kyle Orton was running the offense for the Bears, you know, I was hoping for? I was hoping for 7 of 18 and 100 yards and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what you got from,
well, except for the two turnovers.
Except for the two turnovers. Yeah. But 23 for 45, 297 yards through 3 weeks, there have been 22 instances in the NFL this season where players have thrown for 297 yards or more in a game. And what are you functionally doing if you're not playing the Texans in a football game?
Well, to stay consistent with what I've said all along, I would have to answer my own question by, and I hate to say this because you never want to lose a game, but as I zoom out and as I reiterate what is important to me, the most important concept of the 2022 season to me wasn't the win-loss record. It was the development of your quarterback. And so with that in mind, I would have preferred watching him restore faith.
Yes.
And then possibly losing that game. I can't believe I'm saying it. I don't want to see my team lose.
No. But
this is, if I choose him playing really well and giving us something to be hopeful about and something to build on, that to me is more important
because
at this stage of this new regime's, you know, tenure.
I don't believe what they did on Sunday is something you can replicate week after week against more difficult opponents.
Yeah.
It's just, it happened to be the Texans. You got by with a win. You squeaked it out. That's fine. But now, too, coming on the heels of what we saw against the Green Bay Packers, where you wouldn't let him throw to try and come back, I'm starting to wonder, where are we at? It's more about what the coaching staff's actions is reflecting to me, the fan, of what they think about this quarterback. And if we get one more week like this against the Giants next week, boy, oh boy, am I really going to be having nightmares about where we're going with this quarterback in this franchise.
I think it's a good question for all Bears fans.
Let's try Michael, who's in Winfield. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I know I called on Friday, and I was so confident that, like, Justin Fields was going to have a bounce-back week. You know, and I rolled into work today, and my guys were like, "So, how's your Kool-Aid cup now?" You know,
it's got a hole in it.
He did have a. What's that?
Your Kool-Aid cup has a hole in it.
A little bit, but you know what? It's like I said, Kyle Orton 10 minutes ago when I was thinking of 17 pass attempts. So when you said that, Miller, it was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, yeah, like if you're gonna lose, at least have Justin Fields throw the ball. At least see what you have. You're not going to know what kind of a quarterback you are when you run the ball 40 times and you only throw the ball. You know, maybe they had 23 passing attempts and, you know, he got sacked 5 times. You know, so he threw the ball 17 times. You will never see what you're going to get out of him. And I feel like Luke Getsy is just handcuffing him. You can't have him be in this shotgun because the defense knows he's going to pass. He doesn't really have any wide receiver weapons who are going to do anything. He had, what, 2-3 rollouts again? I get that the running game is working, but when is that's the best time to do a play action?
Yeah.
Roll him out.
Michael, maybe the opposite's true. Maybe the quarterback's handcuffing the coordinator.
Yeah, but I can't see that because he's only thrown the ball 17 times.
Well, if so he throws it more than that, maybe he'll throw more interceptions. Like, I mean, listen, the coaching staff could take what you say and say, listen, I'm trying to protect the young kid from even more damage. Like, again, that's not my choice, but I think it's time for people to stop making excuses for him. We're all preaching patience. I'm preaching patience.
Right.
I'm not ready to say anything, but like when you've got time and there's a receiver open and you don't throw it to him, that's a you problem as a quarterback. That's not a Getsy problem.
I agree, but I want one game where he throws the ball 30 times. And I want to see what happens. But I would also like to see a couple rollouts. You can't put him in the shotgun and let the defense know he's going to throw it because, or you know, the QB run, as they like to abuse him.
Yeah, but Michael's like getting him out on the edge. He's getting out on the edge. And then there are times when he's got, and thanks for the call, Michael, he's got a run pass option and he's choosing to run.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm preaching patience, but at the same time, my head's not in the sand. This isn't just a problem that you don't have enough protection and nobody's open. No, there are several moments when you do have protection and there are people open, and yet you're still making the mistake. So,
and let's not neglect too, Michael, we've talked about it throughout the show now. There were some layups that he missed that were there for him. So it's not just that, you know, the play calling isn't necessarily up to satisfactory where we would like it to be, but also, hey, by the way, there are pass options being called for him that he's failing to convert on. And, you know, I'm curious to see the All-22s, too, because there were a few plays where I suspected. I'm curious to see where the receivers are open, because he was holding onto the ball. And at this point now, I'm questioning everything when Justin drops back to pass, what he's seeing, you know?
Fair.
Let's try Robert, who's in Romeoville. Rob, what's going on? You're on Waddle and Sylvie. Miller in for Sylvie today.
Hey, guys. Always good to see a Bears win. But I haven't been so uncertain and nervous after a Bears win. I mean, they said he has such an accurate deep ball. Certainly not yesterday and those couple of throws. But you know, where is it? You know, after 7 games last year, 3 games this year, whatever the number is, I can't even think of one Justin Fields game that he was the reason why we won. Or I can't even think of one where he looked like the guy without a doubt. You know, I've accepted what this season is, a developmental year, not a great team. But I believe we have to see what Fields is before the season is over. I mean, it's still early this year. But again, 7 games last year, 3 games this year, new offense, new coaches. I trust these coaches, but certainly so far it looks like they don't trust him or vice versa. I don't know what it is, but I believe, you know, like, don't you guys think that Houston, the Texans, was a good team for Fields to test and see exactly what he has?
Yeah, I think that we were all under the same, you know, impression that this was going to be a much better opportunity for them to get their passing game going against a defense that doesn't stack up to the Packers or to the 49ers. This was a team that's more in their class, you know, with regard to our offense versus their defense. And I thought this would have been a good way to measure yourself. And at least through the air, they failed the test.
And I didn't completely buy Matt Eberflus's explanation about at the end of the half. He said they went from 13 personnel to 11 personnel, and they were so essentially slow getting in with the change of personnel, and so that is part of the reason they didn't
get. I think they wanted to get into the locker room and exactly, get in there before anything else bad happened.
He was making excuses. Again, he talked about they didn't want to put the Texans in a position where they made a quick stop if they called a timeout, and then they could have turned around. What was the worst-case scenario?
It's the Texans. It's
you give the ball back to Davis Mills. With. By the way, if they make a stop, what are they going to have? 10 seconds left?
Yeah.
Are you? So, and it's, here's the other thing.
That was the thing that was more disturbing to me. Them not deciding to be aggressive at the end of the first half versus the run pass
ratio. And here's the thing. I might buy that a little bit more if you were receiving the ball to start the second half.
Right.
But no, this was your opportunity. You blew a possession. You said, we're going to forego this possession because we're a little constricted. We're going to have to ask Justin Fields to do something. And again, it's not, hey, yes, I understand you need to go out there and get wins as a head coach, but this is an opportunity in a game against an inferior opponent where you should have an opportunity to test your young quarterback. And even if the worst case scenario happens and he throws a pick six, guess what? By the way, you're still a one possession game.
Yeah.
It's not catastrophic. So I thought it was a missed opportunity by the Bears. Let's try Ray, who's in Bucktown. Ray, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. Miller in for Sylvie today.
You know what, guys? First time caller, long time listener.
Hoo-ha.
And I honestly, the guy looks shell-shocked in a way, but at the same time, he doesn't have a number one wide receiver to get open. I noticed that these guys were missing balls. There was no guys making separation, you know, from the DBs. He's out there on a man on an island by himself most of the time. So, I mean, I would be shell-shocked too, and I would be hesitant in throwing the ball to these guys, and I'd think run first just to save my own ass.
Yeah, I'm done with the quick to make excuses for players. We all know that the line needs to be better at protecting. We all know that next year hopefully is the year where they upgrade on the flank and get him more to work with. That's all fair, that he doesn't have a ton to work with. But he's making mistakes. He's making mistakes that you can't ignore. And he's a professional, so I think it would be wrong for us to overlook his mistakes and just point the finger at somebody else.
Andrew's in Oak Park. Drew, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie Miller. And for Sylvie today on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Again, like the last caller, first-time caller, long-time listener, also season ticket holder who ate his tickets yesterday. But I am on the side of I'd rather have the win, because if you're playing for a draft pick, we suck at that, too, so that doesn't matter. But, you know, I always want the win, because if I get the loss, it's a bad Monday. But to Fields, everybody's stating the obvious here. This is totally the obvious. But it's a new offense. I got to keep giving them a little bit more time here.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm preaching patience as well, but I'm not going to try to, you know, blow smoke up anyone's rear. He played poorly yesterday, and there have been bad moments early in this season that are concerning. When he was getting on the edge, I thought he was more accurate there. He seemed more confident. He wasn't even confident or accurate on the edge. And the growth inside the pocket is still yet to take. So, I mean, it's just some concerning signs. Nobody's given up.
Yeah, and again, my biggest concern is that at this stage, I might be reading too much into it, and I hope I'm wrong. But through three games, and essentially two, because I'm throwing out the record, that first game with the weather, I'll give them, you know, all right, whatever. I'll give them the extra leeway there and say that game was so difficult to navigate. Whatever happened. I'm concerned, though, that they're at a point through three games in this season and his second season that they're scared to death to let him have an opportunity to go out and make a play.
Well, at this point as well, I mean, look back at his body of work to this point, and it's a small sample size. Tell me the plays that stick in your mind. The run against San Francisco last year, okay. Like the throw, that was a broken throw here,
against San Francisco. The Steelers game, that was the one.
Last year, there was two throws. There was the throw that for the touchdown, and then there were, to me, his best play in his young career is the seam throw that he had to Cole Kmet, where you've got to trust that that's open in this league, and throw it. And he did.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there have been very few defining moments to this point. It's the reason why I think some people are a little bit concerned.
Let's try Lewis, who's in Cicero. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
You tell us.
Hey, basically what I'm thinking, so I would much rather have had a pretty loss over this ugly, ugly win this time. Because, you know, like the point has been brought up before, we're not talking an elite defense. We're talking about the freaking Texans. And I feel like Justin Fields, remember, this is a guy that, you know, in the preseason of last year, he was saying that the NFL is slower than college football. And now you see him yesterday sitting on the sidelines with his spirit crushed by the Texans defense. The Texans defense, man. Yeah. And like, yeah, we're going to have a great, you know, we have a lot of money to throw around. But what good is that going to do without a, you know, a better than average quarterback? And the thing is that we expect Justin Fields to be our finally 3,000, 4,000, you know, yard guy, and he's not. And that's what's more disheartening than anything. I don't want to give up on the guy right away, but he looked defeated against the Texas freaking defense, the Texans, man.
We hear you.
Yeah, you're right. It's the first time it looked to me like he looked shook. Look, as a player, as a former player, how I would respond today is, dude, we got the win. He'll work on that. We'll fix some things going forward. We know we got some things to fix. Offensively, we're not threatening anyone in the passing game, but we'll get there. That's from, you know, my experience as a player. I'm 55 years old. You know, I'm not playing anymore. Yeah. When I look at this team through a different lens,
yes,
wins are important. I get it. And I would never criticize the head coach for prioritizing the W. But at the end of the day, for me, looking through a different prism than the coaching staff, what's most important to determine in the 2022 season isn't do you win 9 games or 8 games or 7 games or 6 games. It's whether or not you really do have a player at the most important position.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why my perspective is a little bit different. Like, I'm sure that if I was sitting in a room with a bunch of former teammates, we'd be like, man, all that counts is you got a W. And if you are a player, that's how you look at it. And you always have optimism that it'll get better. Right now, I got to tell you, you know, as a 55-year-old sitting and watching the game and not playing the game, I agree with the last caller. I would have rather had a pretty loss versus an ugly win.
Yes.
When I look at this through the right lens.
Well, because, and the truth is, he's in his second year. So it's hard to envision, like, I suppose we've seen a few examples now in the NFL where if you're not convinced the guy is your quarterback, you can hit the eject button on him sooner than you may have in the past. Like, I think, you know, Josh Rosen comes to mind, you know, for the Arizona Cardinals. But the truth is that it feels like you're tied to Justin Fields for at least the next 2 years minimum, and probably three, realistically. So it's just concerning that I'm hopeful that this is not, they haven't come to any grand conclusion, and it truly was a matter of this game, you know, being there for the taking. Tim's in Oak Forest. Tim, you're up on ESPN 1000.
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
All right, so as a Bears fan, I'm kind of confused.
Me too.
Listening to the callers. I'm not sure if it's Justin Fields or if it's the coaching staff. If we're not trying to win games, like we were told in the beginning of the season, you know, it's all about development, getting the team together. There's not that much talent out there. Then why not let him throw? But if he's making mistakes, are we trying to limit his mistakes? I have no idea what we're doing as an organization. I need help.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tim, I think if you look at it in its most simplistic way, it's easy to understand. They, at this point, they don't care what the stat line looks like for the quarterback. They're looking for a W. They'll do anything that they can do that gives them the best chance to get a win. In the last couple of games, that was run the ball 60%+ of the time. Whether they believe in the quarterback or not, or the quarterback's not playing well, so you want to limit the potential for big mistakes, they've decided that the best way to try and win these games is to minimize the passing game and stick with what they do well, and that's run, block, and run the football. Now, from their perspective, they're living this. This is their job. I get why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
When you zoom out, it gets a little more frustrating from somebody else's perspective. Because at the same time, you're going to have to eventually decide who he is and how he fits in your system.
And maybe what you just said there, maybe it the light went off for me here. The fact that if that's truly the way they believe they're going to win, I don't agree with that philosophy. I think that's problematic if you think you're going
to
win football games. And the ceiling is very low. The ceiling for me, if that's your philosophy on how you're going to win football in 2022, that ceiling is essentially fighting for, you know, clutching and grabbing at 10 wins if you can get there and sneaking your way into the playoffs.
You can't win 10 games by throwing 80 for 80 yards a game. You just can't.
Well, no. God, no. I was thinking even throwing for 200 yards a game is hard to do. He's Waddle. Former Bears wide receiver Tom Waddle, you know that. I'm Meller in for Sylvie today. This is Waddle and Sylvie. All your calls, 312-332-3776. We see you. We're coming next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Don't forget, special broadcast day tomorrow as we are live from the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox for the ESPN Chicago Open.
I'll be on the air in like 14 hours from now.
Tom Waddle all day long coming your way with Cap.
Not all day long, just from 7 to 10.
Well, it just feels like it. Cap and Waddle 7 to 10 tomorrow. Carmen Yerk, special broadcast time for them 10 to noon. I'll be on with Tyler Aki from 12 to 2 in the Carmen and Yerko slot. And then Sylvie will be back tomorrow from 2 to 6 with Hoodie. So keep us locked in here for your interesting lineup tomorrow.
Try to talk some sense into Cap tomorrow from 7 to 10.
We'll get Cap's initial reactions from today's Bears game as well. We're taking your reaction, discussing a Bears 2-1 team and one that has a lot of us confused and left wondering where we are with our favorite football team and their supposed franchise quarterback. We're taking your calls, 312-332-3776. Let's go on out to the northwest side and say good evening to Joe. Joey, you're on with Waddle and Meller. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Sure.
I'm it's a dichotomy or juxtaposition, whatever semantics you want to use. Because I have a lot of I like what Ryan Poles is doing with this organization. I'm very confident with Matt Eberflus, even though he made some mistakes this game, but at least he owned up to them, kind of. And I think we need to realize that there's a lot of moving parts that are new. And yes, I will not condone or excuse. Justin Fields probably had his worst game yesterday, no question about it. He missed open receivers that he should have hit. But I think the real way to evaluate this is if we're like 12, 13 games into the season and he's still this lost or this bad, then I think we have a problem. Other than that, I'm upbeat about where this organization is headed. Thanks for the call, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for making it, Joe. Listen, I've said from the very beginning, I like the approach that this new group has had. It's a patient approach. It's a rebuild. They're not trying to fool anyone, at least from the development or the building of this team. I think Eberflus has got a nice connection with this team. I'm not denying any of that. And I'm not suggesting to you that the quarterback's got to go. I'm actually preaching patience.
Yes.
But by the same token, there are some concerning signs with a lack of improvement with some of the basic stuff that you need to see from your QB.
We got two Wills on the line here, back to back. Let's go with Will number one, who's in Woodridge. Will, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie Miller, and for Sylvie today, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You tell us.
What's up, Will?
Hey, I had a quick question. As we keep talking about the 2-on-1 star, my problem is, didn't the coach come in here understanding that we had a weak roster, and the more games we win, the less we're going to be have a better chance to get the next player for next year in the draft? I mean, I would rather go, 2 and lose the rest just to have an opportunity than slide in at 10 and whatever and get blown out in the first playoff game.
Well, I mean, listen, Will, I would never condone them, tanking games. And yeah, I think they do understand that they're building a foundation here. And part of that building that foundation is trying to build a winning, culture. And I get all of that. I just personally would rather see them kind of, instead of playing like you're trying to, get a playoff spot in the third week, run your offense and let's get out there and see what the guys have.
You know what it is? It's funny. We were earlier in the show, Don't Fear the Reaper was one of the music beds, and you said, more cowbell. And I feel like I'm with you. I don't want the Bears to necessarily go out there and sling it around 50 times figure out what
either.
Justin Fields, if he can actually, surpass 5,000 yards in this league. But what I do want them to do, to quote Christopher Walken in that famous
SNL, I need more cowbell.
Really explore the space.
Yeah.
Explore the space a little bit. Give me more than 17 pass attempts with Justin Fields. Again, you don't have to go crazy. I don't need 35 or 40.
No.
But I don't think...
Here, Jeff, this is my biggest complaint. It's the approach that I would like to see them be more aggressive with. It's not even the actual number of passes.
Yes.
It's at the end of the first half. You had a full complement of timeouts, and you failed to actually be aggressive. And I'm afraid if you coach that aggression out of him, a player that has always been aggressive in his approach, you're doing him more harm than good.
Yeah.
Because you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, if you throw it 25 times and you run it 30 times, okay, I'm fine. But
you know what?
You found an opportunity, I think, to actually give the kid some experience in a two-minute offense against a Houston Texans defense that you didn't have to be terrified by.
I could be wrong. But if I had to bet, if Justin Fields is going to be successful in this league, it's probably going to be similar to the manner in which we're seeing Jalen Hurts being successful in this league. And that is big chunk plays, using his ability when the opportunities present themselves to run and threaten the defense as a dual threat and making it difficult on them. I don't think Justin Fields is going to go and become Tom Brady's and beat you with 1,000 paper cuts.
Correct. I
don't think that's going to be his path to success. And so if you're going to do it, you're going to have to, like you said, 35 seconds and 3 timeouts at the end of the half.
Think about it.
See if you can make a play.
Yeah, I think that they feel good when they're going up-tempo. I think players always naturally, quarterbacks feel good up-tempo. You give him a run-pass option. you give him an opportunity maybe to freestyle and freelance a little bit in a two-minute situation and take a shot. Maybe build a little confidence as you go into the half after a rough first half. I just thought they missed an opportunity to get the kid some experience in a two-minute drill.
Will number two, who's in Hammond. Hey, Will, what's going on?
Hey, guys, Will number two here. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. You know, I'm going to kick a dead horse here, but basically what I listened to Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, and he said, you know, I don't care about the clock. Just give me downs. And to what you guys are saying with the, you know, like Waddle always says about, does it meet the eye test? When, you know, with the three timeouts, got the ball over a minute, yeah. End of the clock, or end of the second half, or end of the first half. I mean, the fact that you're not just giving the kid a try to get downfield and give him downs, I'm not, the eye test just isn't working.
Yeah, Will, we're losing you a little bit with your connection. I said at that point, you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, let's play some ball. Let's go play ball. Like, we got less than a minute. Let's say 45 or 50 seconds, a full complement of timeouts. It's the Texans. Let's just see what we got. Maybe we'll build a little bit of momentum going into the half. That, to me, was a bigger indictment or something that I was more kind of...
That was a moment where I was like, wow, they really... And again, I maybe it was a product of the way he was playing in that game, and I hope that's
the
case.
And I get it from the coach's perspective, but sitting on my couch, what I wanted to see them do was give it a shot.
There was very little opportunity for things to go poorly in that situation because with three timeouts, you could have dictated where you were going to go with that.
Well, and if you're giving the ball back,
that's
time and place. You're giving the ball back to Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. You're not giving it back to Aaron Rodgers and even you know a lesser group of receivers he's had in the past. You're not giving it back to the Los Angeles Rams. You're not giving it back to the Buffalo Bills. You're giving it back to the Texans. So if it doesn't go well, what's the... I mean...
Yeah. What's Kymie Fairbairn going to come in and kick another field goal? Worst case, in all reality. Austin's in Bourbonnais. Hey, Austin, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Waddle, I'm surprised you said that you would rather have had a pretty loss than an ugly win. We're all about the wins over here, man. Got to bear down hard. Over 6.5 wins. But Justin Fields, you know, this coaching staff is with him all the time, so obviously they know a lot more than we do. From what I've seen, the few times I've seen him drop back to throw, he looks lost, he looks flustered, he looks like he has no idea what's going on. And I'm a Bear fan, so I'm really hopeful, you know, he blossoms into to be this awesome starter. You know, I hate to bring up the name, but, you know, I was the same way with Mitch. I understood he probably wasn't very good, but I hung on to the hope, and I'm here doing the same thing with Justin Fields, but... Man, I'm worried about it, but look, it's funny, a year after everybody was worried about and complaining about, man, we don't run the ball, and now we have this freaking awesome run game, and now we're not, you know, now it's too much running. I'm worried, I'm concerned, but hey, a win's a win, baby. I'm all about it, and I hope Justin Fields blossoms. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can't argue with that. If I was a player, I would only thing I'd be concerned with is the W, and I get that's, you know, kind of the perspective of the coach as well. I look at it through a different lens right now and what's important long-term, not just on Sunday. And look, I'm not telling you not to run the ball. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. No. I said that all last week. Like, I don't care. Make it 50-50. But at some point, give him an opportunity to play.
Yes.
And I think that the situation that unfolded at the end of the first half was one of those situations. Play ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Maybe not an overall.
I'm not looking for 50 passes.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's time and place. And again, especially when you were kicking off to start the second half, it felt like you just forfeited a possession.
Exactly.
When you had some opportunity to do something. Again, if it's 15 seconds, different story.
Yeah.
35 for an NFL quarterback, you should be able to have a chance to move the ball 30 yards and at least attempt a field goal. Let's try Jim, who's in Mundelein. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, and everybody knows we're rebuilding. And with that case, do you believe this coaching staff is focused more on trying to win than in trying to understand, especially on the offensive side, what Justin Fields is and what he can provide long-term? Because it seemed like once they saw the running game was going, they may have abandoned any passing game because they could run it. But long-term, that's not helping the Bears. Yeah, we got to win, which is great. But long-term, we need to know, is Justin Fields the man or not? Do you feel the coaching staff is too conservative and is trying to be more focused on wins than developing the quarterback?
Well, and the head coach told you that, yes, as well when asked. I mean, you can play the spot again when they asked him if it's kind of a...
Above all else, yeah. Here, we'll let Matt Eberflus, yes, answer your question.
Is there a conflict of interest that kind of naturally comes about in terms of getting him those game reps and those last scenarios versus doing what may be best for you guys to win the game, considering that you are running the ball so well right now?
Yeah, I mean, you always look at that, but it's always going to be the first. You know, we're going to try to – we're doing everything we can to win the game. You know, that's the most important thing, that, you know, what's the style we would have to play to win that particular game, you know, and it changes. You know, that changes every week to week. You know, this week we were in a mode where it was a style which we had to play to win the game, and it came out in the right end.
There you go. You know,
I think if the quarterback does play better early too, you'll probably see them give him more opportunities. When he struggles early, there's a better chance that they're going to give him fewer opportunities as they're trying to win.
What are you doing Friday, folks? It is Miller time. It's another Waddle and Sylvie remote. This time, your chance to meet Carmen and Yurko, who will be out there with Sylvie at Legends from 2 to 6 this Friday. It's in Woodridge, 6320 Route 53 in Woodridge. The Nissan Titan Street Team will be there as well. Sylvie, Carmen, and Yurko, make sure you're out there. And if you're in the area, check it out. You'll have a great time at Legends in Woodridge. Don't miss it. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Up next, your calls, and we crosstalk with Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You guys didn't know I could see the future, did you? Well, I can. And what I'm seeing is you breaking up with your big-name wireless carrier, because after hearing about Xfinity Mobile's biggest wireless deal yet, why wouldn't you? Now you can get the best price for two lines of unlimited. Just $30 a line per month, saving you hundreds on your wireless bill a year over T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon, all on the fastest mobile service. It's the best-kept secret in wireless. Start seeing savings today. Switch to the fastest mobile service, Xfinity Mobile. Now with the best price on two lines of unlimited, just $30 a line per month. Xfinity Internet required. Price comparison for two unlimited lines under available 5G pricing plans of top three carriers. Taxes and fees are extra. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage per line. Most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary. Not an endorsement. Comcast analysis of mobile Wi-Fi and cellular data from Ookla Speed Test Intelligence, quarter two of 2022.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A little over 13 hours away from Waddle pairing up with Cap.
The countdown.
Being back on the air.
But good luck. We're 10 minutes away from the start of the Black and Abdallah show, but before that,
they're cashing checks right now, is what they're doing. They're cashing checks.
What checks are we cashing?
You don't spend the money before you have it.
Yes. Nothing's happened yet.
You haven't gotten offered an early buyout yet for your...
No, I've not been offered an early buyout for my over 6.5 wins.
Do you have a bet with him, or do you just have a bet with your... your mobile gambling device?
I have a bet with FanDuel. Yeah. I have a bet with him that they won't get swept by the Lions.
Okay.
And I have an emotional bet with him that the Bears will win 7 games.
It's just like, you don't even care about money. You just want the take that I told you so.
Yeah.
That's more valuable than anything.
I sat here for 3 hours and was told I was crazy and didn't understand the game of football, but then they're 2-1 after 3 games. Right? I'm just saying, they're 2-1 after 3 games.
Yeah, you're right.
They're 2-1 after 3 games, and the next, 4 or 5 games are winnable.
Yes.
Very winnable.
Then you can drop a big I told you so.
It's not even about that.
Oh, yes, it is. I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, it is. Listen, the Monday after they win the 7th game, I won't be setting my alarm for 6:59, so I can call in and, you know,
like I said,
see how he's doing. It's okay.
He won't take your call.
Hood will.
Well, Hood will, yeah.
Yeah, Hood will.
Yeah, that's
true. He sits by the phone.
The only question is that going to happen in week 9 or week 10?
Hey, I know.
Week 6 if
early.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well, it can't be week 6 because...
I know.
Well, it's not possible then. So, week 9, week 10?
Week 8.
You start cashing your checks?
They're only going to lose this one. They lost to the Packers. That's it. Only two losses. I only see three losses. Two to the Packers, one to the Bills. That's it.
Just, you know what? Just... get in the wishbone and let's just take it. Let's just do it. Let's just come on. Let's quit this charade of them even trying to throw the football. Let's just get in the wishbone.
Well, if you're winning,
they're not throwing the football. They got Justin Tebow back there.
If you're winning games, who cares?
Just running.
You're winning
games.
That's all they're doing.
That's what I said. Just get in the wishbone.
Yeah. What did you get paid to do, Waddle?
Win
football
games. Yeah, you say that because you have a bet with Cap, but something tells me deep down in your football heart, which is very educated football heart, you would be more happy to see the young quarterback showing you and convincing you that he's the right guy for the job.
I will.
Because this team,
I would, yes.
I hope
yes.
you win your bet.
Yes.
This team isn't winning a playoff game
this
year.
No, they're not making the playoffs.
So,
no.
So what's more important for this organization this year, other than you being able to say, I told you so, with 7 wins? Winning more games or coming to the conclusion that the young quarterback is truly the answer?
Both. Winning games and
him
being...
You have to choose one.
Probably Justin Fields being better, but also I want to know that this organization isn't tied to him. You know, I want to know that if, like, because I'm not, you know, jumping out of the window and the sky is falling like everybody else that's calling in today, and that it's been 3 games. There's 14 more. They're not going
to
throw in Trevor Siemian, I'll tell you that. You got 14 more games of this, and maybe even an entire season next year, because guess what? He's cheap. So you might have to deal with this for another year and 14
games.
Well,
that's not, like, that's a different...
You know what?
Having to deal with it is one thing, but to find out really what you have is another thing.
That's an interesting thought experiment. If they do a... Like, this year, they get through and very conservative game plan... And then get to next year and run it back the same way they're running it this year?
Well, it won't be the same because you've got all that money in your draft capital. So you're going to have a lot better weapons and a lot better off. You're going to be able to spend and you're going to be able to help that
sure.
way.
Sure. But at a certain point, too, if they run this all year long and if they run this type of offense with Justin Fields all season long, there's no way you can believe he's the answer then.
No, of course not.
And then at that point, I know what you're saying.
But
he's
I'm
on
not
the
tied
contract.
To Justin Fields.
You're not. No, you're, and they're certainly not because
no.
they didn't draft him. But if what they're doing this season plays out all year long,
yeah,
they
it's
better
a problem.
Have a different plan at quarterback than this.
I would hope they would. But also, you know, if he does improve by the end of the year, that's why I'm not saying it's done after 3 games.
Sure, no.
That's why it's funny. People who think that he's terrible, he can't play in the league, the whole thing, it's like, give him some time to at least try to develop. I mean, they're clearly not even throwing the ball right now, so...
Listen, I would preach patience to everybody, but don't put your... I'm just saying to the average person. Patience.
Yeah.
But don't put your head in the sand.
Yeah.
When you see open receivers in a clean pocket
yeah.
and he's missing, that's a Justin problem.
Yes.
That's not a anybody
There's
else
a play
problem,
that's been sure. going around the internet today where, if you remember it, he scrambled to the left and ended up getting a first down and more, right? But everybody is pointing out that there was a receiver wide open.
On a hitch
right over here on the right-hand side. 4 yards behind the first down marker. He wouldn't have made it. So what do you want him to do in that situation? Tuck and run and get the first down and extend the play?
Abdallah's coming after the tape people.
Like, I'm just saying, like,
the people
you can't,
watching the all 22.
Oh, he's, okay, he's got an open wide
him.
Receiver. Guess what? He wouldn't have got the first down. So,
yeah.
you want the first down or do you not?
They got the camera angle.
I think depending on the play, Kurt Warner would tell you what the right read is. You can make the wrong read and create a positive play.
Yes, but people are saying, oh, well, he doesn't see the open wide receiver. He was looking right at him and chose, nope. First down.
Can I have the first down, but not the bad interception at the end of the first quarter?
There you go.
Or,
I would love that.
Or no second bad interception.
Yeah, that would be nice. That
You're
would be very nice.
For too much.
Clearly.
I think you
Don't
are.
Don't be so greedy.
Yeah, take the win.
Power.
Take the win and celebrate. What a great Monday.
Bears victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
Guys. Come on.
Let's go. You know what?
Sounds like false optimism.
Waddle, guess what? No. We are celebrating.
Doesn't feel you.
Bears victory
doesn't
Monday.
Feel genuine to me.
In honor of being 2-1 and off to a great start and a big victory yesterday, your prize, Waddle, tomorrow morning, you're going to host with Cap. So,
and
so
I'm looking
eat
for
my
victory.
Shorts and take that.
I'm looking for victory. I'm
yeah.
looking for a dub. That's all
tomorrow,
I'm looking for.
Tomorrow, all right.
Looking
let's
for
run the
a
ball.
Dub.
Tomorrow, 7-10, run the ball 35
times. There you go. Whatever it takes.
Just run it.
Move to keep the clock moving.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do tomorrow.
Ball control.
3 hours.
Win the time of possession.
Just looking for a dub. That's all.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter how you get there.
Welcome in the Cap and Jay Hood. Waddle's here. Just running the ball.
Looking for a dub.
Head down,
You're
run
bringing the heaters tomorrow.
Do
I need to stop and get some heaters
You should probably stop.
Okay.
I'm going to be exhausted. I'm old, man.
You might need one after the show.
Yeah, man.
We will bring a jug of coffee for you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, so Black and Abdallah are up next. Waddle is back at 7 a.m. with Cap tomorrow. Special broadcast day live from New Lenox, the Sanctuary Golf Course.
You and Tyler are hosting tomorrow.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. We'll be in the Carmen and Yurko slot because Carmen and Yurko are on from 10 to noon. Tyler and me from 12 to 2, and then Sylvie and Hoodie back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Black and Abdallah are up next. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much to Tyler Aki and Jake Cantu for producing. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie.
So looking for a dump.
Black and Abdallah.
Just run the ball tomorrow morning, right?